Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment, but running the boards is Joey D.
Hi.
Today we are going to talk with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach about all sorts of video game news. We'll talk a little bit more about Peacemaker. The Walking Dead is getting a spinoff, and we've got the cast list. And, of course, we got the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app to find us.
Lots of ways to get a hold of us and send us messages if you want to. Or you can just check out all of our Facebook pages, our Facebook page, because we do post a lot of stuff that we don't quite always get to. So if you're looking for maybe an article or just a things to peruse while you're listening to us, you can go check out those articles. Vicky is very diligent when we post those out there. And give your opinions on some of those things as well, and interact with the other Geek Nationals. Now, one person we always have to interact with is Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach. You can find him at Skewed and Reviewed, and you can find that at sknr.net. And we got to get back with that video game news. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is sknr.net. And Gareth, we've been talking a lot about the fact that Microsoft ended up buying Activision and Blizzard and, you know, all that big conglomerate that they're with. And we were speculating on how PlayStation would fire back. And it seems like they fired back in a massive way.
Yeah, it's really interesting because at first glance, it appears that this was a reaction move when they went out and purchased Bungie.
Yeah.
But right after the announcement made public that this is not a reaction to the Activision-Microsoft purchase, this had been in the works, they said, 4 to 5 months ago. So this was just something that took longer. It was just the timing was finalized. After this, who knows if there was a little added incentive to get it done. You know, who knows? But they interestingly said that, A, it had been in the works for several months, and B, this is not the last of their acquisitions.
Wow. Okay, so that's interesting at this point in time, because now thinking about that, if this has been in the works for a while, and does it feel like maybe then Microsoft doing their thing to kind of, you know, sneak and kind of take the wind out of the sails for PlayStation's announcement?
It possibly could. It's funny because shortly after that, that the Trade Commission is going to look into the Activision Blizzard purchase and, you know, make sure.
Whoa.
And if you look at the bigger picture right now, this is, in some ways, people are speculating this could be the result of the pandemic, in that it's not just the video game industry. We're seeing theme parks where a major player has made a pitch for another major player. And, you know, some are saying just how badly were some of these people hit by the pandemic? How much has that, you know, they could come out and say, well, we had a good sales quarter and look at all this, but how much is it affecting future projects? How many of those were put off or delayed that will affect their long-term future? Some are speculating this could simply be some of the big players saying who might be ripe to be purchased now, who 2-3 years ago would have told us to take a hike.
Oh,
now all of a sudden, you know, billions of dollars in stock versus as to some investors, an uncertain future or pipeline delays, project, that sort of thing, might seem more appealing. So I think what you may be seeing is that certain companies are willing to say, you know what, if we become part of the empire, as it were, we have renewed stability versus going alone, because what happens if Project A is delayed another 6 months? I mean, depending on the contract, some of these companies can run into penalties where they simply say, look, if this game is not delivered in this condition by this date, there you have it. I mean, we've already seen several games come out that were not up to standard, and, you know, they've tried to do damage control by saying, well, we're going to, like Battlefield 2042, where, oh, we're going to work on it, don't you worry about that. And people are like, yeah, it's too late. It's several months down the line and you're only now admitting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even at that point in time, and I didn't even think about that, it's just that long-term sort of thing. And it's, when you look at it from the outside, it looks like just, you know, just kind of like everyone's just kind of wagging their junk around to like show how awesome they are and that they can buy all of these things that you love. And then even something along the lines of just like, oh, yeah, well, if you're going to get, you know, our Crash Bandicoot, we're going to get your Halo. You know, it's just that sort of weird. And maybe it's just because I watch shows like Silicon Valley where it's just everything is done with a petty slant to it. And really, at this point, it could just be business that's all happening.
Exactly. And, you know, when you have to look at an even bigger picture, and that Sony was very quick to say, we have no plans for Destiny to become an exclusive. We want to keep it multi-platform. And that's great. But what about any other projects that Bungie may have in the works or unannounced?
Mention
that. And then, you know, you look at the bigger picture. Maybe this is all part of the game that if the Trade Commission, FTC, starts stepping in, maybe that's part of the speculation. You know, let's not forget when Disney made their large purchase of Fox, they had to get rid of Fox Sports because they owned ESPN. And this might be all part of the game that going forward, they may have to make assurances. We will not make key things console exclusive, or at the very least admit that we won't go beyond a timed exclusive. Hence, there's not a monopoly or as big a monopoly. Who knows?
Well, and that's so interesting, too, because the only thing I can remember literally is like from history books when, you know, Pac Bell had to go down and break you down the Ma Bells and the Baby Bells. And I mean, kids out there, you can Google that stuff. It's really all about the phone companies that had really an essentially an actual monopoly. And it just feels like we're getting closer to that sort of monopoly standard. I mean, even when you look at something as big as Amazon, who does so many different things, like even just beyond, they're like doing like a global monopoly on a lot of stuff. It just gets kind of scary when the smaller companies, because they're just going to get swallowed up by a larger conglomerate.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and again, it I think back to the whole issue with Windows. Everyone used to scream Microsoft is a monopoly. And mm-hmm. the response was always, you do have other options. There's OS 2 Warp, there's Macintosh, and of course, you know, the average consumer would say, right, but good luck getting our stuff to run on it, because let's be honest, the games were all made for 99% one operating system, and there was no guarantee that certain hardware would work with it. But, you know, from a legal standpoint, you have another option.
Yeah.
You know, we're not forcing you to use it. Now, if you want your stuff to run and you want to be able to be reassured you can play any game that comes out, that's fine, but, you know, we're not requiring it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this continues to go down the pipe, and we'll see where it goes with that. But let's, you know, beyond all of that, let's talk some video games, because we do got an update about Dying Light 2.
Dying Light 2 has arrived. It's out today. I've been playing it for a little over a week and a half, and it is, of course, going to be available on all the formats, the consoles, the PC. And this is a very large game. It was very it's been very heavily anticipated. It's got a very rabid fan base because they have the company has constantly updated it over the years. I mean, you went from just running around on foot to eventually getting a go-kart if you needed it, and dune buggy running, you know, bad guys over, which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, right.
And it's funny because I first saw this at E3 2019 in a closed-door meeting, and boy, that seems like a lifetime ago at this point. And, you know, there was delays after delays, then there was the pandemic, so it's finally out. And one of the great things is, you know, people are going to nitpick, oh, I don't like this, and I don't like this, I don't like that part about it. It's a huge game. The manufacturer, Techland, has said there's over 500 hours worth of content. Whoa. Right now. Before that, any other additional things are added. A lot of the reviews say you're looking at about 80 hours of play just to get through, like, the core storyline. And then, of course, down the line, there'll be, you know, like a co-op and a multiplayer thing. So if you like a giant open world thing that has a lot of parkour, has some undead, has crafting, has resource gathering, this is definitely the thing for you. But, you know, you have to have patience. I know there are people that are already, oh, I don't like this health meter, and I don't like this stamina meter, and that should only be for the hardcore setting, and this shouldn't happen. And I think the characters, it's like, you're missing the point. You know, as I tell them, I said, look at what Dying Light was when it launched. Look at what it is now. there have been significant changes and upgrades to it and expansions over the years. Do you not think this is going to happen as well? The company, it's a rock solid game for those who like this kind of gameplay.
Nice.
Do you not think the company is going to upgrade it and add to it based on feedback over the years?
Right, exactly. That's, I mean, gosh, I've just been reading about just the way World of Warcraft has changed over a course of the years. And it's like, oh, it's not the same game. It's like, yeah, but I mean, you can go back and play the first one. I mean, you can just still do that. So,
and what I enjoy is that so far, my weaponry has, that was one of my biggest frustrations with the first Dying Light, was that weaponry would break down and you had to constantly, I you know, as we've talked about with Fallout, I'm not always a fan of having to take things to a table and fix them and scrap them. And so far I've been, you know, everything I've had is still in good operating condition. So.
And Dying Light 2 is available across all platforms, PC, consoles as well. So whichever system you use, you can use on that or that one.
Correct.
Moving on from that, what are some of the new things coming out, or at least the announcements for Far Cry 6?
Okay, so what they've done is Ubisoft has put out a Rambo update, and this is rather interesting. They recently had a free update that included Danny Trejo, where you would do a mission involved with him, and it's a short mission, but, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you'll get through it, no problem. And what they've done now is they've done a Rambo-themed mission where you can go out and do kind of, you're not playing Rambo, but they have everything from a 10-pack where you can get certain weaponry and outfits and stuff that give you a Rambo look to it. And then there's the other where you basically go in and you do, you know, crazy missions like they show you taking the bow and with the explosive tip like you have in Rambo 2, or you take down helicopters and stuff like that. And there's little snippets where various lines, you know, God would have mercy, I won't, you know, that sort of thing is thrown in there. And it's just like, you know, people are laughing going, okay, so Rambo showing up in Mortal Kombat, he was in a right. Call of Duty update, and I'm like, hey, he's making the tour, you know?
Like, I mean, that's the weird thing, though. I mean, they did have a Rambo movie a little while ago that, you know, to kind of come back with all of it, but he hasn't necessarily been something that's been out in the public eye in the recent years. Is it just because it's like nostalgia kick?
Oh, I think it's a case of that, and I think the licensing is available probably under reasonable terms, and so everybody's just like, okay, most people know who he is. He fits perfect for action games. Let's throw him in.
All right, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And then finally, about Tiny Tina and all her adventures.
Okay, so Tiny Tina's Wonderland is getting closer and closer to coming out. We talked about the expansion that was made for Borderlands 2 that was made available as a free standalone for a while on Epic Games. It is coming to the PlayStation as part of the PS Plus. Nice. People can go ahead and play that and get back in. And what's happened is there are two new character classes that have been announced. So for those that aren't familiar, it's a game within a game in that Tiny Tina likes to play a Dungeons and Dragons style role-playing game. And what I feel was the best expansion for Borderlands 2, you had her narrating kind of as the dungeon master. She would make things up as she goes along. She would change the rules as they go along. And players would play one of the characters in the game and go on from there. So now this has been expanded to a full and complete game. So, you know, if you like the Borderlands gameplay, you're going to have that, but you're going to get the quirky humor. You're going to get Tiny Tina and her ever-changing narratives and stability, and it just looks like just a load of fun. So I can't wait to see that.
I'm really excited for it as well. I played a little bit of the first Borderlands and definitely got in deep with Borderlands 3, and the Tiny Tina character has just been hilarious. I mean, obviously through that, but even when you see someone else playing the game and you see all her quips, and I've seen some people playing some of the gameplay of this, and just where it's like, you know what, you're right, this isn't dark enough for this area, and suddenly like the whole like screen change, everything goes in because she's decided, yeah, I need to change the story right now, and you're like, you're doing it in the middle of my game, how is this even working? I love all of that.
And it's great too, because the updates for Borderlands 3 in terms of new content have kind of slowed down. There was some question about, you know, when we might see some expanded storylines or would new DLC be available, that's kind of been quieted down. We've had raids and stuff like that. So it seems like for now, the focus is definitely on Tiny Tina if you need a new adventure. So I'm very curious to see that when the game comes out, will it be all focus on this and all content for that? Or will we still see some Borderlands 3 content? Or, you know, who knows? This is all the great speculation. It took for ages before we got a Borderlands 3 announcement. And, you know, people are going to say, well, is this setup we have now going to carry it onward? Or are we going to do this? And then, you know, later date gets inkling what 4 is coming. Who knows? But I just like the fact that we're getting something new and it's coming very soon.
Heck yeah. And you can find out more information about the classes and even much more, or even much more, so much more with all of that at Skewed and Reviewed. You can find that at sknr.net and also all along all of the social media. Just search for Skewed and Reviewed. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. And moving on from video games, we got to talk TV now. I have been remiss. I haven't been keeping up with Peacemaker. I feel at this point in time, I think I've seen 3 episodes so far, and I kind of want to wait until they're all out so I can binge the last ones.
I had a hard time, too. I'm like, I don't...
Because I just, like, every time I watch it, I want to watch another one, and having to wait, like, I think I just want to wait... Wait as much as possible and then get to it, because I think it's 8 episodes and we're not all the way through yet. I do know that another one dropped that we haven't had a chance to see yet, but you are mostly caught up at this point, right?
Yes, for the exception of the one that dropped yesterday, and I had to catch up. I wanted to do like you, like, I'm going to wait. But I told my friend about it. I'm like, you need to watch the show. And then text me, this last episode was great. I'm like, ah, crap.
Now I got
to
do it.
Now I have to do it. But yeah, you are right. There are 8 episodes.
All right, cool.
So we are on episode, well, last one was 6. We just saw Monkey Dory, episode 5. Oh, a lot of I saw like next week's episode, like the little trailer.
The preview,
at the end.
Yeah.
So the episode that just came out is going to be...
Like, blow your mind sort of stuff here?
Like, a lot of crap's going to go down.
Oh, wow, okay.
I just want to know how much I'm allowed to say here. I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
Well, I mean, you can say what you want at this point in time. I think, people like myself and Joe, I'm sure that you're a little bit behind as well.
I've only seen 1 episode.
Exactly. So, I mean, we know what we're in for, and if anyone wants to pause it, watch the episodes and catch up and then come back to it, you're more than welcome to. But I mean, come on, we're a podcast. We can spoil stuff.
I'll try to be as vague as I can, but right. If something slips out, you've been warned.
Fair enough.
This is the first episode we see them as a team actually get along and appreciate each other. There was a lot of animosity at the beginning of the episode, a lot of shenanigans, a lot of fighting, and the fighting is ridiculous because John Cena's Peacemaker is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Diebeard.
Like, oh, they have a huge exchange. Just... It's him complaining. It's like, why did you pick my dad's name? Why couldn't you pick any other one?
That whole thing is. So that's coming back to roost then. That's funny.
Oh my God. It is just shenanigans. It was hilarious. But we see that on the last episode before this one, episode 4, we saw that somebody on the team is actually a butterfly.
Oh,
and
damn.
Someone accidentally discovers that this person is a butterfly.
Oh, man.
And it leaves off like, what's going to happen now that you discovered this person and they discovered that you discovered them?
Awkward.
Yeah, something's going to go down. In this episode, they also kind of had we saw the sideline plot with the dad.
Uh-huh.
And we saw in the future episode, like, because this is already a trailer, that S is going to go down with him and Peacemaker.
That would make sense because, A, like I've said before, James Gunn loves to deal with daddy issues. Mm-hmm. And also, it was kind of unsatisfying just to see the dad end up in prison and be like, is that the end of that storyline? The fact that it's not going to be is great because I felt Robert Patrick in that role is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. I mean, I love to hate him, I should say, in this, because he's got no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
He is another Joffrey.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting because when you see some of the, you tend to forget or try to, not push away, but you don't really acknowledge the side characters so much. You know they're there to just kind of move the story along.
Mm-hmm.
But Detective Song, who obviously had a lot of problems with his dad because his dad's racist and she is a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows for a fact that he's not lying. He is, in this episode, she finds out, no, you weren't the one who did these things. Like, she gets all the proof, but somehow it gets bounced back. Like, oh, no, he's the one that did it. These are his fingerprints after all. She's like, no, I saw and talked to everybody. This is not, no, like, you're wrong. And so she's conflicted. Like, everyone's saying, but he's a piece of crap, right? He's a, you know, why don't we just leave him in jail?
Yeah.
But she's like, morally, I can't. It's technically Peacemaker we need to get after. So I get her, like, she's trying to be a good guy, like, yeah, a legitimate,
yeah,
good guy.
Actual good guy.
Even though it's not necessarily what she wants to do. So I'm like, okay, props to her. Next week's episode, we might see his dad donning a costume.
Which would...
The White Dragon.
Yeah, yeah, the very racist villain. So, I mean, you saw that in the jail scene. So, yeah, it's an interesting take because it's really hard, I feel, to be able to portray a racist character in any medium at this point in time. And it's just like, I just hope that, like, people can discern between the actor and the role.
Right.
Like, when you get later on there with, like, Robert Patrick. He's already a murder robot. Can he not just be a racist, too?
It's interesting because, like, you can, when you feel very uncomfortable in these scenes, you know they're doing a really good job.
Exactly.
Because you just want to hate them.
I love that you're loving it, though.
It's so funny. Like, even one of our other coworkers, Sarah, which is Joey's sister, she's not a huge, like, she loves some geeky stuff because it kind of falls in the same realm, like the CW type shows. She does like that. And we were talking on our podcast because we have an all-girl podcast. And I mentioned something from Peacemaker because they, like, what's your favorite emoji to use? Because one of the characters reveals their emoji for everything is, like, the male merman.
And, that's why James Gunn was tweeting that.
Right. And so we were talking about that. She's like, oh, my God, I love Peacemaker. Like, she's really into Peacemaker, too.
That's amazing.
But definitely, you guys need to, if you haven't started Peacemaker, definitely give it a try. I think you'll very much enjoy it. All the actors are phenomenal in this. And I can't wait till next week and see what goes down.
And definitely not for kids. So no. Just note that.
But yeah, they were a team for the first time. They had a win as a team.
Nice.
And they actually, like, got along really well, and it was really sweet. Like, they started a group chat and everything. It's like, okay. They're a team. Yay.
And if you want to maybe do a little back reading on the Peacemaker, it looks like Peacemaker's only solo series under the DC Comics banner is now available for reading on the DC Universe Infinite. So you have a chance to do that. It was published in 87, and it introduces readers to a revised version of Christopher Smith following DC's mid-80s Crisis on Infinite Earths reboot. So you can find that right now, and it's the 4-issue Peacemaker miniseries that you can find if you want to do a little bit of reading about the character and kind of see where it has gone from there. Moving on from to television, and usually Fridays when we talk about The Walking Dead, I'm not really keeping up on it, so whenever it comes back, BJ will be able to inform a little bit more on that. But AMC has revealed the first cast members to join the upcoming spinoff anthology series Tales of the Walking Dead. Anthony Edwards, Parker Posey, Terry Crews, Poppy Liu, and Jillian Bell will star in the new show. And what they're doing with this is that it will season one will tell 6 original 1-hour standalone stories with both new and familiar characters, all set in the Walking Dead universe. So it might be one where it's like, oh, I want to know what this person is doing after basically the finale of The Walking Dead is happening, because we are in its final season. We'll have to see where all of that goes. But it's another spinoff. They've got a ton of different ones. I think they're doing a Daryl and Carol spinoff as well. So, I mean, spoiler alert, they're probably not going to die then, unless they throw us for a loop and it's some sort of weird random offshoot on that.
Terry Crews?
Terry Crews, oh my, yes.
Like, I was like, wait, can it be the same Terry Crews? Somebody else named Terry Crews? Really?
No, the Terry Crews, the man from the Old Spice commercials. I mean, he's done other things as well, but you might remember him from that. Yes, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes, exactly.
He's phenomenal.
A lot of different things on that. So one of the many characters or actors that will be playing characters on that.
Anthony Edwards, do you guys remember what he's from? Two big things.
What?
ER.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was Goose in Top Gun.
Ah, Goose.
He looked like an old guy. Like, he looks like a dad now. I just remember him, like, young.
Well, now he'll be the walking dad.
Huh.
And on that note, it is time for...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky. I mean, it's still February, so are we looking into a black hole of suck for movies?
No.
Kind
of. All right. Aww. Yeah. Woo.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, geez. Really?
Actually, one that I've seen a lot of commercials for, or trailers for, I should say. And it's not doing so well. Only has 6 reviews, though, on the tomato meter. 33%. It is Moonfall. And that is the one with Catwoman, the guy from Ant-Man, Sam from Game of Thrones, and I forget the owl's name in Watchmen.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so yeah. Wow. Night Owl.
Night Owl. Thank you.
Wow.
So I Halle mean... Berry, Patrick Wilson, John Bradley, and Michael Pena.
Okay, fine.
It is called Moonfall. It is that... one where they're all in space and stuff. It's like a mysterious force knocks out the moon from orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling to a collision course with, you know, life as we know it.
Oh, yeah. This is the one that's a little more, like, action-y than Don't Look Up, which is about the impending doom in a satire comedy sort of way. This is more along the lines of action sci-fi sort of way.
Mm-hmm. But there's only 6 reviews, and it's getting 33%.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's 6 reviews. This could, really, really change.
Yeah, it could.
If you guys do go see this, I'm guessing it says it's in theaters. I'm not saying that it's streaming anywhere. Let us know what you think, because I am very curious if this is one of those that's just going to go all the way down or actually bump up a little bit.
And it's something along those lines. It feels like it would be something like maybe like a drinking game involved with it, or maybe it's a so bad it's good, but it also might just be a bad movie, and that's why they're having it play in February.
Or it could just be like, after having some time to digest the Eternals movie, because I really enjoyed it when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But now as I'm sitting here and thinking of the characters, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I saw it in theaters because it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a movie. And I feel like this could be it. This could be just a very beautiful movie because it's in space, but be a movie.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that along those lines.
Seems like the world's going to explode or something in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, I think the moon's going to crash into the Earth, or
yeah,
the moon isn't all what it seems sort of thing.
It's weeks away from impending doom, it says.
Happy ending to that. There's no ship that's going to get you somewhere safe.
No, generally not, no.
speaking of not so happy endings, Jackass Forever, I know it's not really our genre, but I do want to point out that it is coming out this week, and it's getting 91% on the tomato meter with only 54 reviews.
And you know what you're getting into when you're watching a Jackass movie, and I'm definitely going to go see this. I think we're going to go see it with one of our collective friends / coworkers, Danny. He's really stoked for it because he really loves that sort of thing, and I mean, yeah, I will go to the theaters to see this, even though you really don't have to, but I'm going to.
I just feel really bad for them, I think, now knowing that they're all sober.
And
that makes
elderly,
it worse.
The
and
fact
older.
That they're like it, possibly in their
50s.
40s and 50s, yeah. Like, it can't, I mean, just seriously, like,
yeah,
the hospital bills on this.
Johnny Knoxville's 50, Steve-O's 47.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you're not really feeling any of these other ones.
Yeah, I think the tough part for me with Jackass movies is that it is actually real. It's not stunts. And when I watch it, I'm like, oh no, I get squeamish. Like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, it is legitimate. Like, some of them are super funny. Like, even like watching the trailers for this one and seeing, I think it was Eric Andre ordering a coffee. And when he goes with the coffee, it's got one of the inflatable, almost like airbag balloons that just shoots it. It's supposed to hit him in the face, but it doesn't. But and then they have a backup one once everyone gets wise to that one that hits him in the nuts. I mean, it's so juvenile, but it's I mean other people's pain, I guess, is hilarious.
Yeah, sure. There's a few more, but I'm going to just run down them quickly because most of these don't have much of a review or any reviews really.
Okay.
One, it says it's action, mystery, thriller, sci-fi, but I'm not really sure.
It's a lot.
It says a platoon of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan become trapped in a cave and are hunted down by a deadly creature. It's called The Prey, Legend of Carnoctus.
It sounds like a Predator, like, straight to a DVD, like, B-movie type ripoff.
Considering the biggest name on this crew is Danny Trejo, probably.
Oh, there you go.
And
he doesn't make anything bad.
Well, I mean, the movie poster looks very, like... It like old school Indiana Jones esque. Like, there's a weird creature in the back that kind of looks like the creature that took down Gandalf the Grey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Balrog?
Yeah. It looks all kinds of ridiculous.
Yeah. It looks just like a Balrog. And oh, wow.
No reviews as of yet, surprisingly.
Oh, Adrian Paul. I wonder what he's been doing. He was the Highlander in the TV series back in the day.
Oh.
Old people will remember this. I don't know if you guys will, but yeah.
Another one that's coming out, it's a Western horror, and which is, I really want to bring it up because I like the idea of Western horrors. However, it's a Western horror, and it's probably not going to get really well received, especially because the cast seems kind of, it's less than 2 hours long. So
that works.
It is called Ghosts of the Ozark. Some of the actors, Thomas Hudson, I recognize his face. He was in the movie Get Out. He was the one that said, "Get out!"
Oh.
I'm like 99% sure that was him. I think.
Oh, Tim Blake Nelson is in this. If you ever watched the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which was the Coen Brothers movie, he played Buster in it. It's like a bunch of like little movies kind of or shorts put together into a long movie. He was Buster Scruggs in that one. Oh, David Arquette's in this?
Yeah. Actually, he was not the one from Get Out. I'm confusing him with someone else. Anywho,
this looks terrible, but I'm kind of in for it.
Right. It's one of those, if it comes out, it says it's on Apple TV to buy. But it's going to be in theaters, so if you are able to get it on Apple TV and maybe free at some point, that wouldn't be a bad way to go.
And you've got some nice old Western mustaches going on there.
Which
is what
you love. So sure. this it's an exciting new take of a Southern ghost story. In post-Civil War Arkansas, a young doctor is mysteriously summoned to a remote town in the Ozarks, only to discover that a utopian paradise is filled with secrets and surrounded by a menacing supernatural presence.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky. another one, kind of the same thing, is getting 20% on the tomato meter, called The Long Night. Again, not really big on the actor's name, but it is a horror movie.
It seems like, February, like we said with January, kind of the dumping grounds for movies. So we'll kind of see how this goes.
Last Survivor, 71%, and Alicia Silverstone in another movie. Good for her.
All right.
Getting her insurance, along with Stephen Moyer. Get that insurance.
Yeah, really.
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.